Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. After the tremendous chaos and uncertainty of the past 3 years, humanity has now reached a major turning point, which many channels and astrologers are likening to a gateway to a new world. This week, I'm delighted to welcome back the very busy and incredibly popular astrologer, Pam Gregory, who'll be sharing what the planets will be pointing to as we move through this forthcoming milestone year in the history of humanity. For those of you not familiar with Pam, she's an internationally acclaimed astrologer who achieved the highly respected Faculty of Astrological Studies diploma after 8 years of study and then graduated with the highest honours in her master's course. She's the host of a highly popular YouTube channel that regularly receives hundreds of thousands of views and the author of 2 best-selling books. You don't really believe in astrology, do you? And how to co-create using the secret language of the universe. Pam, welcome back.
Yeah, joy to be with you, Sandy. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You know, this must be a really exciting time to be an astrologer. I mean, not only are more people taking the science seriously, but I mean, look what's going on.
Yeah, crazy times, absolutely crazy times, but very, very exciting times. Once we've got the bigger picture, the bigger perspective, which astrology can so ably give us, it gives us so much reassurance of where we're headed. Because if you haven't got that bigger picture, it would be very easy, I think, to get caught up in the chaos and all the systems that have been foundational in our lives starting to crack and collapse. And that can be very destabilizing for people. So I am so grateful that I work with the cosmos every day and help other people to understand that bigger picture as well.
Absolutely. And I should imagine everybody is so eager to know that bigger picture. But I wonder how many people look back a bit and go, oh, my God, yes, I remember what Pam said back in 1919 and look how it's played out.
I can't even remember, but I remember saying that, you know, that 2020 was going to be an incredibly powerful year. And by the end of 2020, we were going to be in a very different place. And all I could see was contraction, that Saturn, Pluto, jackboots on the tarmac, constraint, contraction, lockdown, abuse of power was the historical theme, abuse of power. But I didn't know how, you know, because we're not necessarily psychic in that way, didn't know how it would actually manifest. The rest is history.
And it did manifest, absolutely. I mean, literally, lockdown, constriction.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it had echoes of the 1930s. It had echoes going back to 1517 when, you know, Martin Luther was nailing his 95 theses to the doors of the Wittenberg Church to really protest against the abuse of power at that time of the Catholic Church. So, you know, if you look back to big historical cycles, it was always these Saturn-Pluto conjunctions, particularly in Capricorn, which is top-down structures, are always linked to the abuse of power. So whether the top-down structure was the Catholic Church or a sort of autocratic monarchy or whatever, there's been this repeating cycle of the abuse of power. And then you get the tipping point of people saying, do you know what? I'm not playing this anymore. I've had enough. Mm-hmm. You always get that. And it's so good to have those historical cycles to be able to look back, because they always repeat to some extent. We're in a very different kind of paradigm that we're moving into right now that I can talk about later. But nevertheless, we will get echoes of those themes. The abuse of power until it becomes so unequal, so autocratic that we say, do you know what? We're done.
That's an interesting point you've raised there, because obviously, you know, the planets are doing their cycles, but I tend to see everything as a spiral rather than a circle. So each time we're at a slightly different place of response. But, you know, how long do we have to keep doing this before we all say, I'm not having that, and we change it for good?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what we're into right now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, certainly there's a major fork in the road, which I've talked about a lot. And that's why all those, you know, micro decisions you make in a day, you have to make them very conscious, because we are headed out on one fork of the road or the other. And one fork of the road is almost recreating the old. And if we engage with fear, we're quantum entangling with all the old systems which we don't want. And, you know, we get caught in this loop of energizing in a quantum way, because our focus, our attention is feeding where our attention goes. So we are actually giving life support to what we don't want, those old dictatorial systems, then blaming them for giving us a hard time. You know, it's a crazy loop. But if you're in fear, it can be overwhelming to break that pattern. So that's one very kind of obvious technocratic fork in the road. And the other one is hitching your wagon to a star and saying, no, I'm actually going to believe and trust and step off the cliff like the fool in the tarot and just really engage in a quantum sense and put my attention on these very high frequency energies coming into us right now.
Yes. Yes.
Don't know where that's going to lead, don't know where it's going to land, but I am going to make the best of the biggest evolutionary jump we've ever had in our lives, of all of our lifetimes.
I'm not
going to make a pig's ear of it and go off on the other track, because, you know, there's a very clear fork in the road. And ultimately, we will all get to unity consciousness, but it's a little bit like being at Heathrow Airport, and you can take the fast track or the slow track.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is so interesting, because we are so lucky to be living in a time where we have access to these higher frequencies now that are coming onto the planet, and we don't want to waste them.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah, so that's why I try and share this stuff with people. I mean, it's being shared very widely by very psychic and spiritual people. But, you know, if you just look at the cosmology, we are moving through an area of space, a new energetic area of space where we haven't been for 12,000 years. And this is the photon belt, with this very, very high frequency energy, which is allowing in all this very beautiful photonic light. And it's this very bright white diamond light, which I can see, many people can see. And if you consider that we are entirely made up of biophotons, every cell we have is made up of biophotons, and light carries information, and that's how our intracellular network works in our body. But the level to which we can embody that photonic light depends on our level of consciousness. And we self-select that. There's nobody telling us you can only be at a certain level of consciousness. You know, it's up to us to do the work. And where are we at? So the higher our level of consciousness, the more light we can embody. And also, because of the drop in the Earth's and the sun's magnetic shield by over 20% in recent times, that is allowing, it's like it's taken away the cotton wool buffer. And that's allowing in much more cosmic and galactic energy. And that is new information coming into us from far galaxies.
Yeah.
You know, we're stepping back into our galactic citizenhood, citizenry. So, you know, those two very different new forms of energy coming at us thick and fast. I mean, that's why people are, you know, they're either plugged into the mains and get 2 hours sleep a night, which I often do these days, or they get 12 hours sleep, which I can do, you know, goes on with, you know, and aches and pains and tinnitus and dizziness, because we are having to evolve so incredibly quickly. There's been no dress rehearsal for this. And we've got to kind of, you know, kind of hang on to and do as well as we can with those leaps and surges in new energy, because they are all helping to evolve us.
Well, there's so much happening right now. And I know that at this time of year, you get really busy having to give everybody an overview of the year. I want to do that in our second segment, because there's a few things that I think, because there's so much happening, you go, oh, my God, that must be significant. And that must be significant. And then you're on to the next thing. I want to, in this first half of the show, just focus in on a couple of pieces that got my attention in some of the information you've been sharing. And one of them is that the February 5th full moon, and you say that it is actually the fifth full moon in a row of seven, which are all taking place at 16 degrees of the signs they're in. Now, that has to be significant. You know, it's like, get your attention, get your attention, get your attention completely. Yeah. So tell us, what is that all about? You know, what's so important about that 16th degree?
Well, it's pretty much where Uranus is right now. Uranus has an 84-year orbit. So the 16 degrees of Taurus is where Uranus is sitting right now and will be there for some months. And it stays in Taurus until 2026. It's a very long-term cycle. And what it does is really, Taurus is fixed earth, you know, permanent structures, the way things have always been. We want to keep things steady. And Uranus is just throwing a bomb in all of that and said, no, you know, we're going to break these old stale patterns. We're going to bring revolution to that. And but also much awakening. So because it's in the midpoint of the fixed signs, if you've got anything at the midpoint, you know, 15, 16, 17 degrees of Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, you'll probably be feeling quite urgent, quite restless, want to bring in variety, newness in my life. What I'm doing is stale and dead and, you know, I've got to break the pattern. So these moons at 16 degrees will highlight Uranus. And this breakthrough to the galactic, breakthrough to the future, breakthrough to freedom, human rights, massive in 2023, breakthrough via revolution to a totally new state of being. And this will also be part of Gaia's evolution, because Gaia is going through her own upgrade as well. Yes. But the 16 degrees is interesting because several people wrote to me and said, well, of course, that's the tower card in the tarot. And we are absolutely, if you look at the other aspects in astrology, it's all about the tower. It's about the collapse of the old order, because Pluto has been in Capricorn since 2008. And it's now really in those last couple of degrees. It leaves Capricorn on the 23rd of March and has just a short 2.5 month dip into Aquarius until the 11th of June. Then comes back to those last couple of degrees of Capricorn until January next year. And then next year it only spends 3 months in Capricorn as opposed to, 3 months in, not quite 3 months in Aquarius. So Capricorn is these governmental top-down elite structures, governments, corporations, institutions, the alphabet agencies, monarchies, wherever there is elitism and inequality. And elitism and inequality are very highlighted right now because the purpose of Capricorn is to dig up the dirty laundry within those vertical structures that is not for the highest good, the highest integrity, the highest transparency. And therefore, that accelerates the collapse of those old structures, of the old order that will happen, I think, fairly rapidly this year. And that's the tower. Mm-hmm. That's the tower card, the collapse of the old.
And isn't that exquisite? All the people who used to say astrology is a pile of, you know, crap, and now we're seeing all of these incredible synchronicities that, you know, that's not coincidence. You know, it's all connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Pluto starts moving into Aquarius, which it does 23rd of March, just for this little glimpse, as I say, 2.5 months, it hasn't been in Aquarius until since 1798. It's got a 248-year cycle. This is a big deal. For most of us, we are going to be in that cycle, Pluto in Aquarius, and for the rest of our lives, because it stays there till 2044, you know, another 21 years. And that will start to dig up. It will be much more revolutionary, much more the power, Pluto, beginning to shift towards the people. You're seeing these revolutions in Brazil, Peru, China, Iran, Germany, Netherlands. But it will also start to dig up the dirt on any lack of integrity, transparency, accountability in science. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Big tech. All of those areas to do with Aquarius, science and big tech, particularly, it will start to dig up the dirt, anything that is not for our highest good. Yeah. Because Aquarius is very much altruistic, what is for the highest good of all. And Pluto will do the business as it starts to move into Aquarius.
And what about pharmaceuticals?
Well, isn't that interesting? Because that is so interesting. And I just really, that's why I added something into my latest video, because Saturn will move into Pisces. Saturn has a 29 and a half year cycle. So it will begin to move into Pisces on the 8th of March and will stay there until 2025. Now, Pisces is to do with water, and, you know, there'll be many, many water issues as we go through those years till 2025. But Pisces is also linked to the media and to pharmaceutical drugs of all kinds and to companies who make those pharmaceutical drugs. And so if we look back to when Saturn entered Aquarius, the sign it's still currently in, it was in March 22nd, 2020. Saturn has a contracting, limiting, shutting down process on whichever sign it's moving into. So then it entered 22nd of March 2020, and Aquarius is a sign of freedom. What did it shut down the very next day for most of the world? Freedom.
Yeah.
And it stayed there since, and we've had, you know, depending on your geography, extended periods of lockdown on freedom, shutdown on freedom. Now it's going to be totally different because Saturn will move into the sign linked to the media and pharmaceuticals. And I think that is fascinating because it's coming down the track really fast, March the 8th. And so that could, I'm not saying it will all happen on day one as it happened back in 2020, because it's got a, you know, an almost 3-year run in Pisces. But I do think it will begin the process of some kind of a shutting down on current mainstream media and pharmaceutical products, drugs, companies in some way. I think we're starting to see the beginnings of that right now.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yes, and not before time. And what about Pluto? You know, our old friend Pluto. You're talking a lot about the 29th degree. Is it Pluto moving into Aquarius? And
yep.
Now, what was that have to do with the 29th degree?
Yeah, because 29th degree is the last degree of Capricorn before it tips into zero of Aquarius. So for people who have any planets in the last couple of degrees of the cardinal signs, those are Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, or the first couple of degrees of the fixed signs, those are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, you may be feeling intensity in some area of your life, depending on the planet it's, you know, aspecting and the house area it's falling in your chart. But there's usually some power play or manipulation in your life or control issues coming in. But the process is about ultimately your empowerment. So it's your ability when tested by control, manipulation, power play to say, this time I'm standing in my power and I'm breaking those patterns from childhood or whatever. I'm not going to go into victim. I'm going to stand very nicely and very peacefully, but I'm going to be standing in my power. And that's when that process of empowerment happens. And it's linked to the myth of Persephone, when, you know, Persephone was captured and taken down to Hades, taken down to hell, and it was all dark and scary. And then eventually she comes up the other side back to the light, and she's stronger and wiser and deeper, etc. The process of Pluto is linked to that. So the process of Pluto, if it's aspecting any planets in those areas I've just described, it can take you on quite initially a bit of an uncomfortable journey. You can often feel a little bit in the dark, on your own, emotionally isolated. It kind of takes you down into your essential self and then builds you back up as you come back up to the light. And those periods usually last a couple of years, but they are absolutely life-changing. Absolutely life-changing. They often signify huge endings in your life or relationships or situations or careers or whatever. But there's a step, you know, when I had it on my marriage axis, that's actually when my marriage ended. And although I didn't, you know, I initiated the leaving of the marriage, but it, you know, it's never great, whichever side you're on with that. And it was awful, you know, and very isolated and lots of challenges. But nevertheless, that was the beginning of me stepping into my astrological career in a much, much bigger, fuller way. I couldn't have done any of this, if I'd stayed in my marriage. So Pluto, if you've got the strength to stay just peacefully, quietly in your power, say, nope, this far and no further, boy, does it deliver benefits on who you really are, your authenticity, you know, your power.
I've got two 29 degrees. I've got the moon in Leo at 29, and I've also got Uranus in Gemini at 29. Am I not right in thinking that Donald Trump has got a 29?
His ascendant.
His ascendant.
His ascendant. Yeah. Mm. 29 of Leo on Regulus, which is the, you know,
so same as mine.
Yeah, kinghood. It's you know, being in the public eye in a kingly leadership way, whatever you, you know, whatever you think of Trump. But for you, if you've got Pluto square your moon, because it's in Leo, you said?
Moon's in Leo, yeah, okay. 29 degrees, 4 tenths.
So this will be a depending on the house area as well, it could be a fundamental change in your home life, your home. You could even move home. It could be pretty intense emotionally, again, around some control issue of some kind. It could be issues with the mother or some female, because the mother is connected with that. But nevertheless, it's stepping into your power in an even bigger way. Now, if Uranus is at 29 of Gemini?
Uranus, yes. Yeah.
Uranus is at 29 of Gemini. So again, this is going to be, this is more of a generational thing, because, you know, Uranus has an 84-year orbit, Pluto has 248-year. But this is going to create sweeping changes in your life that are not really a surprise. They've been building for a long time. It's like old stuff that just needs to go, that is no longer contributing to your growth. And then there's a whole fresh wave coming in. And this is a fundamental shift in consciousness as well. Fundamental, which is the potential for all people around your age, whatever your age is. But it's always, of course, intensely personal as well.
Can we anticipate a fundamental change in consciousness of Mr. Trump?
Everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
Everybody has this, absolutely everybody has this opportunity. Yeah.
Wow. Well, everybody. That will be an interesting one, you know, that the public can keep an eye on.
Indeed. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen with all that. But nevertheless, because the US is also, you know, the elephant in the room for the US is it's also going through its Pluto return right now.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So transiting Pluto is coming back to the same place it was in 1776 with the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the real legal formation of the US as it is now. But with transiting Pluto, moving around the heavens and coming back to that same place, and it's in the area of the US chart to do with the economy, finances, your values, who are you as the US, what values do you ascribe to? But it's also linked to the, because it's in Capricorn, it's linked to politics, leadership, the Constitution. I think it will even be what is the US geographically, what states make up the US. But I would bet money on a fundamental change of leadership in the US and a fundamental change in some way of the Constitution and the whole political arena, because that's again Capricorn, part of the old order. So Capricorn in these last couple of degrees, Pluto in these last couple of degrees of Capricorn is really going to dig up any remaining dirty laundry. But at the same time, the top-down structures will be desperately, with the last gasp and grasp on power and control, trying to exert, you know, more power with, you know, another big scary event. Another really big scary event. You know, some people apparently are saying that people are having heart attacks because of the swamp gas from Venus. I mean, it's just, you know. So it's going to get louder, but kind of crazier.
Yeah.
In order that more people awaken.
Yeah. Now, you did actually say in 21, when we last spoke, something like that, you talked about the Pluto return and the constitutional changes in the US. And you talked about, you actually said about changes in laws around some of our essential freedoms and rights. And of course, on June 24th in 2022, Roe versus Wade was overturned. Yeah. I mean, right there, that's a really big one, you know, in our essential freedoms and rights. I mean, it is so interesting to look back, and really, I think over and over again, we're seeing the evidence of the power of astrology.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, the good news is that as Pluto shifts into Aquarius, again, if I look back historically, there has always been a shift, even a legal shift, actually, to the common people. And it won't happen day one, month one, year one. Remember, it's a 21-year transit that we're looking at. But, you know, if we look at previous times that Pluto was in Aquarius, I mean, you know, we had Edward the First in 1293 establishing English common law when Pluto was in Aquarius. That was the very first time ordinary common people had had any legal rights. And then if we look at another time when Pluto was in Aquarius in 1789, you had the US Bill of Rights, which gave additional legal rights to ordinary people, you know, the equality before the law, and all of that's been kicked around a lot of late. But also we had that massive happening the same year of the French Revolution, when, you know, the common people who were starving, who couldn't afford to buy bread, were under the diktat of this, you know, obese, rich monarchy, and they stormed the Bastille and they took down the monarchy. That was the end of the monarchy. And the king was executed, and even just 1 month later, the Assemblée Nationale published something called the Declaration of Man, which was the very first time that ordinary people had been given equality before the law and, you know, all kinds of legal rights they'd never had before. And that became the foundation document for democracy in Europe. And that was under Pluto and Aquarius. So we are re-entering this cycle. And yet we've got, you know, a fair ways to go. It's not going to happen next week, next month. But the beginning of it is happening now with these revolutions across the world. It's a revolutionary energy to take back our power. And it's going to result in a much more equitable society, financially, socially, not equal, but more equitable, because that's always how it's worked in the past with tax changes, you know, taking away from the rich and giving more to the poor. So that's
okay. We're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the bigger picture and some of the things that are already unfolding on the world stage and how they may change or not in the coming year. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times' flagship radio show, What Is Going On? And as an author, editor and 13 times book judge who's read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors, I'm constantly asked, what's really worth reading and what's not? So I created the No BS Spiritual Book Club to help you save time and money by picking the brains of discerning names who have walked this path before you. There's no catch, no fees, and no BS. just an ever-growing library of 10 best spiritual book lists from some of your favourite authors and teachers, plus free book excerpts, audios and video interviews with people like Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., David G., Lee Harris, Mark Nepo and more. From well-known classics to hidden gems you've never heard of, it's the only no BS guide to the best spiritual books to enlighten your journey of self-discovery. So why not join the club? Get inspired and save money at the NoBSSpiritualBookClub.com.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's 1 in 5 daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Pam Gregory, we were talking before the break about Pluto and the US and the possible economic, constitutional, and possibly even geographic redefinitions. You know, it's kind of generally known that what happens in America today tends to follow in the rest of the world tomorrow. And one of the other redefining of geographic boundaries that we've seen over the last year is Russia and Ukraine. What do you think is going to happen there?
I've sort of purposely avoided that subject because on YouTube you are censored if you refer to that. But let me just say that I don't think that everything that we see on the news is necessarily the way it is. That's really what I want to say. I think it's very necessary for another big scary event to keep on coming down the track. And I think that there's a very different story behind all of that, which may well come to light.
Okay,
I think that's about as far as I can go.
And that in itself raises the issue of, you know, it's getting to the point where people can't even share their opinion anymore. You know, this is one of our rights.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. Are we going to see that change?
We are, but we must also work to say enough. You know, this far and no further, enough. Again, not in a violent way, ever, but just say, you know, enough. We are not going to play victim and step into fear and give away our power, our freedom and our rights. And that can be done actually energetically if you just don't go into fear. As soon as you go into fear, you go into victim and you lose your power. You just pour your power, scatter your power, leak your power. So the most, you know, if I had one message from this entire interview, it would be do not go into fear, because you're giving your power to what you absolutely don't want to keep on recreating in the same old loop. Thousands of years, war, poverty, sickness, disease, round and round the hamster wheel. We've got to up our game and be better than that to stay in love. Because actually, once you stay in love and you live it as a state of being and you beam out love to everyone you come in contact with, whether it's online or in person through your day, we are accelerating energetically the shift to new earth. We're stepping up into a whole new world if we can do that. As long as we focus on the difficult stuff, it's acting like a ball and chain for that jump into new earth.
And that's something you're very good about, because you remind people of this time and time again. You know, you're delivering, you know, possible news that could put people into fear, and you always follow that up with something positive.
Yeah, because I mean, I've noticed, Sandy, the change in myself. I used to be absolutely obsessed by current affairs. In fact, that's why my monthly newsletter started, because this happened over here and this happened. And I was really, you know, into the politics and the economy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now I couldn't care less. I'm so tuned out of that. That's not correct to say I couldn't care less. That's not correct, because I have huge compassion with people in very different difficult circumstances. But I care a great deal, but I'm no longer energetically connected in a quantum sense to those current affairs. Mm-hmm. And the best use of my energy is to focus on love and bring in that grid of light for the new earth. That is my most powerful, most efficient use of my energy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm feeling. And I've just tuned out of current affairs. I mean, I haven't switched the television on for almost 3 years. I don't read newspapers. I'm just not going to engage with it in any form.
Yeah. Well, you did say, I think, on your newsletter that one of the big shifts this coming year will be the greater understanding that everything is energy and frequency in our universe. And that includes us.
Totally. And, you know, this may seem a kind of wild thing to say, but increasingly, I really believe that all of our outer 3D reality, we have and are creating with our collective consciousness. We're doing it. It isn't just that we're in the game. We have and we are creating the game, but we don't realize we've created the game. So we keep getting caught in the loop of I'm stuck in the game. It's awful, awful, awful. Look at everything that's going wrong in the world. But you're in charge of creating the game. So if more of us could get to that higher perspective of recognizing, guys, if we all come together in love, this shifts really fast. And that's what mass meditations do. I mean, I'm very lucky to be in a big group where I live locally. And, you know, we go to this sacred site. It's the ruin of an old church every solstice and equinox, and 200, 300 people turn up. And the energy there is absolutely palpable. The light, it's extraordinary. I wouldn't miss them for a moment. And we are adding kind of bricks and mortar, if you like, to the light of what we're creating as the foundation for New Earth. That's community. This is going to be grassroots up, people. It's not going to be, we are absolutely done to death with top down. We are done to death. Yeah. But if we could kind of really start to grasp that we are not only in the game, but creating it, I mean, what a step change that would be.
Yeah.
Because you can say, I don't want this game of fear anymore and death and poverty and misery and war. I want to have a game of love from now on and sharing and compassion and peace and joy and laughter and hugging and abundance for all. Because that's what I'm working on every day and with a whole bunch of other people who are doing this. And actually, it isn't just in my local area. They're all over the world.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. People, power. Yeah. Let's focus on a couple of good things that you've said. You talked about some very unlikely people of high integrity stepping into the hero archetype right now to serve humanity, and that this is going to become increasingly apparent in the coming weeks, that soon. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I don't know who they'll be. I don't know who they'll be, but they will be people, and I genuinely don't. I'm not just, you know, playing coy here, but they will be genuinely people who are invested in service to others rather than service to self. That will be as clear as day. They are not in it for their own power, their own profit, their own, you know, bank account, because there's a whole shift with this Pluto move to Aquarius of benefiting the people. So service to others, no longer service to self. And actually, a lot of investors now are becoming what we call conscious investors. They're not investing for profit. They're investing in, you know, my legacy or whatever. What can I do to, you know, can I buy land so people can grow food, etc. I also think they will be younger because Aquarius is linked to youth. They will be innovators. They will be pioneers. I mean, it's kind of people that I wrote about this, writing about this in my newsletter, that there's a young chap, he's only 18 now, and he says he's been an inventor since birth, and his name is Boyan Slat, S-L-A-T. And I think he won could have even been a Nobel Prize or something when he was 16. And he's invented an incredibly simple way to clear up 90% of the floating plastic pollution in the world's oceans.
Yes.
And it's essentially a massive big scoopy thing, but, you know, he's found a way to do it. And he is the kind of Aquarian leader that will step forward. So it's going to be youth, it's going to be innovators, it's going to be progressives. it's going to be genius people who step into that role. As I say, they're going to be quite young, and teams of people are going to congregate around them and say, hey, I can add to that idea, or help with that idea, or I can help to implement it. So I think they may not even be very well known at this time. But these will be the people who truly are the heroes for humanity. And they're going to be in all kinds of different areas. It could be economic, financial, ecological, you know, spiritual, who are people who are already perhaps doing something for truth and doing something for humanity. But they're going to achieve a much higher profile once the old systems more fully collapse, because they're going to be left standing in the rubble as shining lights, you know, in the demolition site. So who do we go to now to rebuild, you know, the new earth? And those people will be shining in their integrity. Integrity, massive, massive, massive word this year. You've got to stand in your integrity in every moment. And if you do that, your potential for leadership, not that you'll want it. You know, these are people who don't necessarily want leadership. They just want to help people.
Yeah, and it's interesting, again, you know, how exquisite astrology is, because here we are with Aquarius, which, of course, you know, also rules the airwaves and the internet, technology. And with the technology we have, then all of these young heroes that are going to rise up, you know, we're going to know about them instantly. Because of technology.
Totally. And, you know, hasn't the internet served us brilliantly all through lockdown? It's allowed us to find our tribes, our soul tribes, initially online, and that may continue, or, you know, then to link with them physically. But I think there could even be separate internets that start to form. And the little groups of families of frequency that have this kind of an internet, you know, because it's their particular frequency. So I think we could even start to see, again, not this week, not this month, not this year, possibly, but as we move through the next few years, a splitting of internets into different soul tribes.
Interesting. In a way, I mean, that's kind of like looking at something like MySpace or Facebook in a whole other way.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking to Professor William Tiller some years ago, the late William Tiller, who was one of the physicists in What the Bleep. And he said that, as far as he was concerned, things like Facebook, you know, and the way the internet was connecting was just getting us ready to understand that we can actually communicate telepathically, that 100%. We will not need those platforms.
Yeah, we won't need external gadgets. I really agree with that. We're in this interim stage. We need the external gadgets, but we will be building, as Pluto moves through Aquarius, the inner spiritual technology, and we'll become much more psychically sensitive, much more intuitive, much more stronger healing powers. We'll walk into a forest. We'll be able to hear it breathe and communicate to all the animals, plants, shrubs, mosses, snails, birds. Everything will be in a much greater state of oneness, like the Lemurian people were, with all of nature. And that will be absolutely exquisite to because that was probably our most perfect civilization. Mm-hmm. And we are really, because those frequencies are on the earth now, we are re-entering that age potentially. But we've got to be at a frequency match to enter it, if you like, or experience it. But absolutely, but in the meantime, yeah, we've got these external gadgets and also many incredible healing technologies coming on. You know, which again will become internalized as the years go by. We won't need the external gadgets, but phenomenal stuff is out there. Mm-hmm. Almost a new gadget every week is happening.
Yeah, it's amazing. And look at health, you know. I mean, just in the last few months, I've been made aware of two particular things where they can now use technology to look at your DNA to personalize your health advice. You know, they can absolutely see, you know, what you've got a propensity for, what you should be eating, what you shouldn't be eating, and personalized medicine. I mean, that has to be the way forward.
Yeah, I agree completely. I agree totally. And we are going to get very smart at how we can naturally change that. Yeah. Again, through meditation or the external healing gadgets or whatever, there's going to be a way that without resorting to sort of surgery and drugs, we can heal ourselves and evolve.
Yeah.
And that's going to be phenomenally exciting.
Yes, indeed. So in our last 8 minutes or so, what do you think the most important thing that you want to share with people other than keep your frequency high?
Yeah, keep your frequency high. Do not go into fear. Find joy in every moment, because at the 3D level, it will be tough. It will be chaotic. It will be collapsing this year. Expect that. One of the great things about astrology is even if it's going to be tough at that level, it's comforting to know this is supposed to happen. This is the plan. And the more, you know, the analogy I've often used is we've all had the experience of taking off in a plane in a windy day, and at lower levels, there can be a lot of turbulence. And you think, you know, I'm going to fall out of the sky, and it all, you know, being buffeted by external circumstances. But once you break the cloud level, you get a smooth ride. And therefore, that I think that works as an analogy for our frequency. The higher our frequency, and it doesn't have to be excitable, it can be peace. It can be just being totally at peace. But the more we can keep in that state of love, joy, gratitude, appreciation, peace, laughter, happiness, the more bubble wrapped we are going to be from the excesses of the 3D collapse. It kind of can't find you energetically.
Yes,
you're not
exactly.
A frequency. You're not a frequency match to the collapse. Yes. Only if you give it attention, you watch the nightly news, you go into fear, then you're magnetized to that frequency. So don't do it. You know, we can choose our thoughts. We can choose that every single day. My frequency jumped when I stopped watching the news. Jumped.
Yeah.
Mm. I became so much happier. And we deserve to have joy in every day. So every morning when you wake up, say, I'm going to live in love as a state of being. I'm going to find joy all through today. And if it's a blue sky, if it's a bird singing, if it's hugging a child, hugging a pet, laughing with a friend, milk those moments of joy, milk them so they take up a larger and larger part of your neural network. And then your default frequency actually goes up to a much higher level because your default frequency is now in joy as opposed to fear. And that's a hell of a jump. And then everything in your external reality starts to change. It will only change if you shift on the inside. You can't force the chess pieces on the board. You have to make the inner shift to get a change in your reality. Because all it is a mirror. That's all it is, just reflecting back your frequency to you. That's all it is. And the more we can stay in those positive emotions, the more we are creating, you know, with that wonderful interview I did with Professor Robert Temple talking about plasma, the more we are creating beautiful, coherent geometry in the plasma, which bounces back to us as beautiful experiences. But if we're in fear, we get this kind of distorted, ugly, incoherent geometry in the plasma, bouncing back to us as yet another big, scary appearance, reality. So, you know, there are a couple of people I know who always say, and I don't know them well enough to have a proper conversation, but they say things like, oh, it always happens to me. You won't believe what's happened this week. You know, after what happened last month, can you believe? And I think, it's your frequency. So I kind of sow seeds. But if I knew them better, I'd say, look, it's all coming from you. Everything in our reality comes from us. And that sense of responsibility is the only way we get to be happy, being responsible for our own lives.
Responsibility, that's a big word, absolutely, yeah. What are you, of all of the aspects that are coming in, the transits, etc., what are you most curious to see unfold or most excited, about? What are you anticipating the most?
Yeah. I think what I'm anticipating, I think there'll be a big shift in consciousness round about the March equinox, 20th, 21st of March. So if you can be with a group of like-minded friends, do some meditation, be in nature, listen to sacred music, whatever, I think there's going to be quite a jump in consciousness then to a higher level. And also I think the solar eclipse that we're going to have on the 20th of April, I think that's going to be very powerful to jump our consciousness again. So we're going to have a series of big upshifts, if you like, in consciousness. And I am just so excited to see how they start to manifest in the world. And the more you can link to communities of like-minded people, you don't have to necessarily live with these people, but you're linked to them, you're in a group, the more you will see the green shoots of new earth start to manifest, and they will come quicker and quicker this year. So it's like we're changing feet, you know, that the obvious reality has been 3D, that's been so dominating in our lives for thousands of lifetimes, but now we are starting to shift feet. So it's like this, all of the life force and energy is going towards new earth. That's where it's going. And yes, it's smaller than, you know, the very obvious 3D, but that's where the power is for the future. That's where the energy is.
You know, I love that phrase is coming back again, the new earth. I mean, I think it was Eckhart Tolle and Oprah did something about the new earth many years ago. But before they did that, you know, I published a magazine called Children of the New Earth, which was about the consciousness of the children that were, you know, call them millennials now. But this new earth, I mean, it is becoming very tangible. I know that you know people who are doing some amazing stuff. I certainly know people who are, you know, ushering in this change. Tell us about the codes that you were talking about in your newsletter that interested you. You said you'd come across a beautiful website where the photography was just quite compelling, and it was the codes.earth.
It was I'll have to look back to my newsletter, but that was there were a couple who were doing amazing work with linking people across the world to help the world's environment and ecology. With, you know, it could be planting trees, it could be sorting out pollution in rivers and streams. Beautiful work. It just shouts the Lemurian energy. It absolutely shouts it. So I'll try and dig back and find that. But the photography also of something that caught my attention recently is from Vader Austin, who is like another development of Masaru Emoto, doing beautiful work in capturing when water starts to change into ice, but there's an interim stage where the crystals are forming in layers. And if it's beautiful, if it's pure natural spring water, she gets ferns and leaves appearing in the crystals. But she's now starting to see water, which it is because it's a form of plasma, as living, intelligent consciousness. Yes. And she's having almost conversations with the water.
And why not?
And this is a huge area, I think, that the water is living consciousness, because it's divine intelligence, which we're taking. And if we can bless it with love, it takes on a different geometry as we drink it. And what's that doing to all of our cells? Yeah. And we're just in the flow of water because we drink it in and then we urinate it out. But the more we can help the structure of the water to be beautiful, you know, that's going to be a big part of reversing our age. There's so much around water, which I think we are on the brink of discovering.
Yeah, you know, I tell this story every chance I get. Back in this something like the 80s or the 90s, I watched a TV series in England. It was one of the BBC's Panorama or one of those kinds of series, very well researched, and it was called The Heretics, and they were looking at people like Linus Pauling, who discovered vitamin C, and people who had been pilloried for their ideas. And they were did a whole program on Jacques Benveniste, who was a French scientist who, you know, got thrown out of the Lycée because he was intrigued to find that water had memory.
Yeah.
You know, and when I watched that program, immediately it became obvious to me that is how homeopathy works.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so what else can we learn from water?
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a ton from water, particularly Saturn moving into Pisces. I think the next 3 years are going to be extraordinary in terms of our discoveries of what water actually is in a much bigger way than we ever had before.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, Pam. It's always so great to talk with you. so much to talk about, but thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, real joy, real pleasure. I love how the conversations flow. Fantastic, Sandy. Be okay. Well, be good, have a wonderful
you
water.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you can watch Pam Gregory's frequent astrological comments on world events and how they reflect the astrology of the moment on her popular YouTube channel at Pam Gregory Astrology. And you'll find several teaching videos as well that she references where you can begin your own astrological journey. Believe me, it's well worth studying. At her websites, pamgregory.com and thenextstep.com, where she also publishes her monthly newsletters. And check out her best-selling books, How to Co-Create Using the Secret Language of the Universe. And you don't really believe in astrology, do you? pamgregory.com, thenextstep.com. That's it for this week. I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, goodbye from me and a heartfelt thanks for all the great work Pam Gregory does.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sandy. Love being with you.
You too.